But we've been going through, we just finished up the Sermon on the Mount, and last week we had three object lessons on faith. Today I want to close chapter 8 of Matthew, looking at verses 18 through 34. 18 through 34. You know, for a Christian, we will all have challenges of faith. Challenges of faith. It may be that after we're saved, we might go through some sort of financial setback, or we might go through some sort of family problem, or we might go through some sort of sickness, or we might go through some sort of challenge that challenges our faith. Those are trials that will help us to grow. A very familiar passage in the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through... Aha! Here we go. There's two things now. Book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 8.
One more guy.
One more time. Did it? There we go. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Temptations actually doesn't mean that I'm being tempted to do something wrong. It's basically trials. Okay? And we're supposed to be happy. It says, count it all joy in trials. Why should we be happy? Because my faith as a Christian is being tested. James is writing to the church. And he says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, how many want more patience? Okay, yeah. But God wants us to be created and conformed to His image. And He brings these things into our life so we can be more like Him. And as a Christian, we need to know this. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your what? Faith. It's not the trying of your knowledge. It's not the trying of your abilities. It's the trying of your faith work of patience. But let patience. See, that's following God's Word. That's following the Holy Spirit. We need to let. There's a lot of things. I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to watch the nursery. I would never clean a toilet. I would never do those things. Yeah. But let patience have her perfect work. God may ask us to do something like sit down when you didn't think there's a chair. But listen to God and let her have patience work. That you mean what? Be perfect or complete and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberty and abradeth not, and it shall be what? Given him. But let him ask, everybody say it, in faith, nothing wavering. See, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said, let your eye be single. He says, if your eye is single or you're focused on God, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye be evil, then your whole body is full of darkness. And how great is that darkness? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. How many of us have been in decisions or trials where we really didn't know which way to go? And we do this way and this way. I want to do this. And then you always second guess. Well, I want to do this. No. We need to do things in accordance with what God's telling us. In accordance with His will and His Word. His will never violate His Word.
Right.
His Word will never violate His will. If we know His Word, we're okay. So we need to understand His Word. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. If you ask for other wisdom than God, don't think that God's going to bless you. If you ask for any other instruction from God, don't think that God's going to intervene and do this. You're going your own way. We need to let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. It says a double-minded man is unstable in how many of his ways? All his ways. And see, my prayer for you and the whole purpose of the church is so we're not double-minded. And so we understand God's word, we understand his will, and we'll follow it. And we'll be conformed to his image. And that if I'm conformed and you're conformed, then we're all conformed and the church will be like Christ wants us to be. And we'll do what he wants us to do. And God brings us challenges in our life that are challenges of faith. But then there's also challenges to faith. There are obstacles that we could put up. There are things in our life that we put up that allow faith not to act. Or we could even reject it. We could even reject it. See, the Bible says this. Isaiah chapter 28 verse 10 says, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little." The book of Matthew talks about the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel. It talks about the good news. The first part of the chapter is to talk about the fulfillment of prophecy. Starting in chapter 3, it starts about the beginning of ministry. And then chapter 4 talks about his being tempted. And then he starts these ministries and he goes into Galilee and the area of Decapolis because he can't work things in Nazareth, his hometown, because people didn't believe. They didn't have faith. And then he goes up and he finds a mountain and he brings up great crowd and then he preaches a sermon on the mount. 20 minutes to get through chapters 5, 6, and 7. And then last week we go into chapter 8 and there's three object lessons that now start applying what the Sermon on the Mount is. And see, what we need to do is we need to understand that Christ is now living out what he preached on the Sermon on the Mount. Do we live out what we believe? Do we live out what we truly believe? We need to. That's what we're supposed to do. And so he's living these things out. And we had the object lesson of the leper that was cleansed, who didn't listen to God's word. He was told to go to the priest, but he went out and he published everything. He was told to be quiet, but he went out and did his own thing. Then the centurion that basically wanted his servant to be healed. And he says, "I'm not worthy coming to your house, but whatever your word says, that's what's going to happen." He understood authority. And then there was Peter's mother-in-law who was sick, but she got healed. And after she got healed by Christ, what did she do? She ministered. See, all those things are living out what the Sermon on the Mount preaches. So this morning, we need to understand challenges to faith or faith challenges. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "For whatsoever is born of God." See, you can't do this unless you're born of God. Unless you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is that victory that overcometh the world." Everybody say the last three words. Even our faith. See, we need to have faith. And if we do have faith, it's going to be challenged. If we're looking for faith, then there are obstacles that we have to understand what faith is all about. So we have true faith. There's a lot of people out there that say, "I believe in God." But they really don't have faith. The Bible says in the book of James, it says, "Thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Just having a head knowledge doesn't work. We have to have a faith that comes from the heart. So this morning in this passage, we're going to look at three things about faith. The first one is found in verses 18 through 22, which is a faith that requires commitment. A faith that requires commitment. In this passage it says, "Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side." Last week when we were talking about the leper that was cleansed, when he started to publish everything that happened to him, great crowds came and Jesus had to move on. He couldn't do it in the city anymore. He couldn't minister in the city anymore. He went out to a desert place and now he says, "Okay, I'm going to have to go to the other side of what? The Sea of Galilee." Up to this point, he's operating on the west coast of the Sea of Galilee. If you have a Bible map in the back, it's up in the northern part of Israel. It's where the Jordan River comes from. And so he's on the west coast and he says, "Now I need to go to the east coast." He says, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. See, what we have here is we see the true commitment that is required by faith. The true commitment that is required by faith. The first thing is that a committed faith goes to where Christ goes. He says he gave commandment to go to the other side. And there's other people in this crowd. It says great crowds followed him. And there's two people in this crowd that come up to Jesus and they give some reason why things aren't the way they want it to be. See, a committed faith says, I'll go where Christ commands me to go. Just like when she was listening to my voice, she was going where I was directing her. But then when there was something that wasn't known, she did what she thought was right instead of what God wants is right. Okay? So we need to go where God commands us to go. And the second thing is that we need to understand that Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 is, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall what? Direct thy path. How many ways do we have to acknowledge Christ in our life?
All.
And he will do what?
Direct
our path. Every promise in God is yea, yea. When God says, I'll do something, he'll do it. And we need to understand when he commands us to go somewhere, he's going to give us all the energy and all the method and all the resources necessary to get there. So the first thing is committed faith goes to where Christ goes. A committed faith is more than lip service. See, the first guy that came up was a what? He was a scribe. He was one of those religious people. He should have known the Old Testament. He should have known by hearing Christ preach that he is the fulfillment of Scripture. And he makes a brash statement. How many of us ever made a brash statement? Like, I'll love you for the rest of my life. Did you marry that person? Some people make that statement and then they find somebody else. Okay? I'll love you for the rest of my life. No. And then they'll go on. See, we'll make statements and sometimes we don't follow through. And there's a lot of people that say, hey, I'm going to do great things for God, but never do anything. They say, I know God, but there's no evidence of fruit in their life. And they need to live out what Christ was preaching on the Sermon of the Mount. See, Christ saw right through it. The scribe said, I'll go where you, whithersoever thou tell me to go, that's where I'm going to go. But see, Christ said, do you understand the commitment of your faith? He says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't know where he's going to lay his head. Do you want to go into the unknown? Are you willing to take that risk to go into places where and live by faith? See, Christ said, take no thought of what you're going to wear tomorrow or what you're going to eat tomorrow, because God knows that you need those things. But do we actually live by that faith? Probably not. And so we have no record of the scribe following Christ. He's not in the boat. He's not in the boat. See, we need to have a faith that pays more than lip service. It's not what you say, it's how you act. It's whether or not you have Christ down in you. Because if you have Christ in a relationship with him, it will act out. James says this, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. There's a lot of people say, I have faith in Christ, but they look just like the world. Don't pay lip service to God. The Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, he says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. See, when we say something and we don't mean it, we're a hypocrite. We're a hypocrite. It says, as it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but their what? Heart is far from me. For where your treasure is, there is your what? Heart also. Once again, the Sermon on the Mount. So the issue is that a committed faith is going where Christ wants you to go. A committed faith is more than lip service. A committed faith requires immediate response. There was a second guy in the crowd. He actually calls him his disciple. And he says, Christ, I'll go there, but let me first, but suffer me. Allow me to go bury my father. Now everybody would say, well, that's okay. His dad's about ready to die. This phrase, bury my father, is an idiom in Hebrew, which actually means, let me wait until I get my inheritance. So his father is alive, could be alive for many, many more years. He says, God, I'll serve you, but I'll serve you on my time, when I got everything in order, when I have the ability to go and serve you. No, God wants an immediate response. He says, let the what? Dead bury their dead. Really, he's talking about let the spiritually dead of the world bury the spiritually dead. He says, you either are alive unto me and dead to the world, or alive unto the world and dead to me. That's what Romans chapter 6 talks about. So it requires an immediate response. And Hebrews chapter 3 verse 15, Paul gives a summary of what was happening in the wilderness. There were 10 times that Israel came to a challenge of their faith, whether or not they were to trust God or not. And all those times, they basically failed. And Moses is intervening. He says, don't consume them. Because God says, stand by. I'm going to consume them in a moment. I'll make of you a great nation. He says, don't do it. Don't do it. So see, if God's calling you today, are you going to do it? Are you going to do it? Or say, no, God, really, I didn't want to have that kind of faith. I was just paying lip service. No, God, I really want everything in order. He's going to give you the resources. He's going to give you the time. He's going to give you the... That's why He gave you the talents in the first place. If we just step out in faith and follow Him. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, says, while it is said, today, if you will what? Hear His voice. Harden not your hearts. Hard means to go a different way. I hear you, God, but I'm not going to go do that. I hear you, God, but I can't do that. I hear you, God, but that's really not what I meant. I hear you, God, but I don't want to. That's not faith. We need to have a committed faith. Harden not your heart as in the provocation. There's going to be times our faith is going to be tested. And we're going to be provoked to do good works. We're going to be provoked to stand up for Christ. We sing the song, stand up for Jesus. Do we stand up for Him when we're being challenged? See, if you had a committed faith, you can stand up. So as a committed faith, it's a faith that requires commitment. Now there's a faith that brings peace in trial. These are challenges of faith. In verses 23 through 27, it says that when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Hey! Gave commandment to do what? Go to the other side. So, he's on the west coast of Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. Now he's going to go to the east coast. Now, there's two ways of doing it. You could do it yourself and walk around the shore and get there eventually, but it'd take you a long time. If anybody's been to Seattle and you wanted to get to the east or west side, you have to drive all the way around Puget Sound, or you could take the easy way and take a what? A ferry. And see what Christ said, He says, let's get in the ship because we'll make a straight line there. See, we need to understand that when Christ gives us commandment, we need to take a straight line to what He's commanded us. We need to take a straight line to where He's commanded us to go. They found a ship. They got in the ship. They got in the ship. And when he entered the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. See, there's an interesting topography about the Sea of Galilee. It's over 600 feet below sea level. Okay? And the mountain, there's a mountain called Mount Hermon that's over 9,000 foot tall. And anybody's ever been in Colorado living on the mountain range, you know that sometime in the summer that the straight line winds can just come off the top of the mountain. and just go at 100 mile an hour straight line winds come across the plain. Well, the same kind of format, same kind of thing happens here. Air comes down off of Mount Hermon and causes these massive tempests, these massive winds that stir up the waves in a storm. See, God controls nature. And he can put us in the storm. And where we're not, how are we going to act to that? That's a challenge of faith. And behold, there rose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Who's asleep in the boat? Christ. You know what? God the Father said, go to the other side. He knows he's going to go to the other side. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. There's water in the boat. Wait a second. Mount Calvary is not on the other side. The cross is not on the other side. This is not Christ's time to die. If Christ says, get on the other side. But there's storms out there. Go. Get in the ship. But I would rather walk around. I don't like to be on a cruise ship. Okay? I don't want to be constrained. I'm claustrophobic. Get in the boat and go. Go the way God wants you to. Lord, save us, we perish. Really? We do have a tendency to exaggerate, right? Okay? But the point is we often exaggerate when we don't have faith. This problem is still too big for me. Oh, ye of what? Little faith. Look at that. And he said unto him, why are you fearful, oh, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a what? Great calm. See, there was an object lesson there. God knew what was going to happen. He knew what was going to happen. Even asleep, he knew what was going to happen. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey? You know why Christ was doing all this? To show that he was God in the flesh. To show his disciples that he was God in the flesh. And so here we see a faith that brings peace and trial. Based on the words of God. Last Sunday we had a lesson in authority. See, when the centurion came to Christ, he said, can you heal my servant? He's sick. And Christ said, I'll go to your house and heal him. And the centurion says this. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You know, we're not worthy at all to stand before God.
Amen.
We're not worthy at all. He says, I understand authority. He says, I have men under authority. And he says, when I tell them to do something, they do it. And he says, all I want you to do, Lord, is just speak the word that he's going to be healed and it will happen. And what did Christ say? He says, I've not found so great a faith even in Israel. So here's a Gentile having more faith than the chosen people of God. And see, God told them, he says, he commanded them what? To go over to the what? Other side. So if you're going to go to the other side, you think you'll make it? If he's telling you to get on the other side, you think you'll make it?
Yeah.
Why do we have no faith that we'll say, I can't get there? I want to drown.
I'm bad.
We're going to go where God tells us to go, because he's going to do everything necessary to get us there. Do we actually believe the words of God? So when he tells us to do something, we know he's telling us to do something, we'll go through with it. Or are we like that scribe? I'll go wherever you want me to go, but not now. Not that way. I'll go wherever you want me to go, but let me get my house in order. No, not that. See, faith means be sold out. So it's a faith that brings peace and trial, and based on the words of God. Do we know God's word enough that it can bring us peace when there's trial? There's an answer for every problem in life in God's word.
Amen.
We need to know it. So we can call on it. You know, ever go into a test in school and you didn't study and you look at the question and you go,
yep.
Oh yeah.
If you studied, you'd be ready for it. See, if we study God's word, we'll be ready for it.
Amen.
Based on the presence of God. Who was in the boat? Christ was in the boat. Christ was in the boat. He said, command to go to the other side. There could have been a tsunami going in that boat, and it still would have gotten the other side. Because God said so. And when God says something, it's going to happen. You know why? Because He's God.
Amen.
So we need to understand, He says He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Count it all joy when you fall into what? Diverse temptations, that the trying of your faith worketh what? Patience. But let patience have a what? Perfect work, which means go to the end. Go to the end. It's based on the presence of God. Oh, we perish! Really? Really? Did I not tell you that we were going to get the other side? Okay, stop the storm. Done. Okay? How many times we keep on going through the storm, we never cry out to God? We never bring God into our thoughts. We never bring Him into our way of thinking. See, if we know God and we have a tight relationship with Him, when we see the storm coming, say, God, help me through this. Or when we're in the storm, God, help me through this. I know You'll do it. And I know Your way will be the what? The right way. There's peace in the midst of the storm. And rest in the most trying of circumstances. Here is a storm and Christ is asleep. Physically, He was exhausted. But spiritually, He was doing exactly where God wanted Him to be. And folks, when we're exactly where God wants us to be, even though the storms are raging around us, oh, and there's another one coming when Peter gets on the water and sinks. But that's not this one. See, there's another one. See, we're going to have another trial of our faith. We can find rest in the most trying circumstances. And when you pass that test, I guarantee you, you're going to get a similar test later on that's maybe a little harder. But it's got the same lesson. Lastly, it's based on experiencing the effects of the power of God. So he gets up and he rebukes the wind and the seas, and what happens? There's a what? Great calm. And what did the men in the boat do? Wow. This Jesus is some dude. This Jesus is some man. They marveled at him. They said, even the winds and the waves obey him. You know, the winds and obey only abide, only obey one force of nature, and that's God. See, Christ was showing, he says, you got God with you. What do you have to fear? I told you we'd get to the other side. We're going to get there. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the what? Power of God. Does your faith stand in the power of God? Or are you still thinking about what your faith should be? Let go and let God control your life. Lastly, unfortunately, there's a faith that can be rejected. In verses 28 through 34, very quickly through this, it says, when he's come to the other side, well, he said so. They got there. You know, get in a car with me, you might find out running out of gas someplace in Wyoming. Okay? But with God, it's going to get you where it is. And when he was come to the other side of the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed devils coming out of the tomb, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off of them, from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine, how much of them? All of them. Ran how? Violently. Because when the devil's after you, it's violent. Okay? It says, down a steep place in the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled, and went their ways into the city, and told everything that was, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought that he would depart out of their coast. See, this morning, you're being challenged to faith. The first challenge is whether or not you have saving faith. Whether you not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. The second challenge for the Christian is whether our faith is passing God's test. And there are several things that we need to understand. See, it was a faith that was rejected in light of great testimony. In light of great testimony. There were these two guys. The other Gospels only record one, but it's the same story. There may have been one that was more dominant than the other one. But here was a testimony. These guys were up in the mountain, and they were so fierce that nobody wanted to go up there. That no man even ventured to go up there because these guys that were possessed were so bad that they would die. And see, here's a great testimony. Here's a solution. Here's a problem that men could not fix. All they could do was to avoid it. But when Christ comes, and oh, by the way, his disciples were there, and the dudes that were herding the cattle, the swine, they were there. They saw this. There were eyewitnesses accounting. And they heard what happened. What happened? The demons said this: "Art thou come, thou Son of God, to torment us before the time?" Son of God is used 84 times in the New Testament. Basically talks about the Messiah. About being God in the flesh. See, the demons knew. You go read 2 Peter chapter 2 this afternoon if you want to. But in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 it says here, "For if God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness." That's what's going to happen at the end of time. Christ is going to bind every demon and hit Satan and everyone that follows him into hell. It says to be reserved unto judgment. Judgment's coming. And you go on and you read, it says, if God's reserved this for the wicked, he's also reserved this for the righteous. See, the demons knew their end. They know their end. But do you know yours? You will have, when one day you will die, and you will go into eternity. And there's only one of two places that you'll be in eternity. If you know Christ, and you have a relationship with him, you'll be with him in heaven. Amen. If you don't know Christ, and you've rejected him, and you don't have faith in him, you will go to hell. Pure and simple. Well, that sounds harsh. That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Do you have faith or not? Do you know where your end is going to be? If you don't know where your end is, you need Jesus. You need Jesus today. God's perfect Son, who lived a perfect life, to die on the cross in place of you for your sins, who paid the death penalty, who rose again on the third day. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter next month. That's what it's all about. And because he rose again, he has power over sin. He has the power to forgive sins. He proved that. We're going to see that later on. He has the power to give you eternal life. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." He says, "I go and prepare a place for you if you follow me." Do you know your end? See, it was a faith that was rejected by the city in light of great testimony. It was a faith that was rejected by people in light of great healing. See, the book of Mark says that there were 2,000 of these guys because they were the name of the demon set was Legion. And what happened was, Mark 5, verse 15 gives the account of this. It says, this is what happened. It says, "And they came to come to Jesus and see him that was possessed of the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid." You know something? If you saw someone that you were scared to death of, and all of a sudden something changed in his life, that you weren't scared, that you could go and approach him, he's clothed, he's sitting in his right mind, everything's there, what would you do? What happened? Instead, they run away. See, God's power is manifest in the world. How do you deal with that? Do you say, "Praise God"? Or say, "Ooh, this is convicting to me, and I'll run away"? See, in light of great testimony, they rejected God. The demons were even telling them that he was the Son of God. In light of great healing, they rejected God. They were afraid. They were afraid. in light of one's lifestyle. Now, this was a big herd of swine. Okay, he was in the area of Decapolis. There was a lot of Gentiles in the world, but it was still God's promised land. And God's law still applied. See, hogs are unclean. The Bible says so. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "And the swine, though he divide the hoof, be cloven-footed, yet he cheweth not the cud. He is unclean to you." See, there's a lot of uncleanliness in the world. And then when God comes and exposes the uncleanliness or takes care of, basically takes some of that out, people get mad. There were a lot of unclean animals there that day, and they all died. And people wanted to keep their unclean animals more than they wanted to understand what happened just then. See, Christ in the Sermon on the Mount said, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either love the one and despise the other, or you'll love that one and you despise the first. You cannot serve God and what? Mammon. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So when this 2,000 herd of swine go into the water, the people ran to the city and brought the whole city out and said, get out of here. We don't want any more of you around here at all. They're standing in front of the God of the universe in the flesh, and they're rejecting. Doesn't matter if they were Gentiles or Jews, they were still unclean animals. Doesn't matter where they were, they were witnessing the power of God. And instead of saying, maybe I ought to understand that this is God in the flesh, and I need a relationship. Instead, they rejected him. They rejected him. In light of great testimony, in light of great healing, in light of changing one's lifestyle. Yep, if you have faith, God's going to change you from the inside out. Have you changed since you've met Christ? If you haven't, where's your faith? The Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And then light of great power. Verse 34, they just came and said, get away from us, Jesus. We don't have anything to do with them. Is God asking you to do something this morning? Do you see him as your needed Savior? Don't reject him. Christian, do you see God wants to command you to go to the other side? He's going to be in the boat with you. He's the master of the universe. He can control and calm any calm, any storm that you're in. He's got great power that even the demons submit to him. This is the power that we have, Christian. This is the power that we could follow. But are we just paying lip service? Or are we saying, let me get my house in order and let me do my own thing first. Then I'll follow you. See, the Bible says in Mark chapter 7, verse 9, Christ is telling the group again. He said unto them, Mark, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. What a trade for what we have down here, for what we could have in heaven. What a trade. God wants to have us trade all of our sin and get forgiveness of all of our sins and have the ability to stand before the righteous God of the universe. The ability to go to the throne of grace and pray. The ability to read God's word and understand it. The ability to be the temple of the Holy Ghost. The ability to go out and tell other people about Christ. How are we doing it? How is our faith this morning? Do you need saving faith? I got great news. Christ died for your sins. Ask him to forgive your sins. Believe that God's raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Well, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Christian, where's our faith? Is it growing? Or are we just kind of putting it on the back shelf like that? Every year. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. He forgives us sins and cleanses us from what? All unrighteousness. Let's stand. You know, Jesus is calling us. Jesus is calling us this morning to make a decision. Let's make a decision for him this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this word. Lord, I just ask, if there's someone that does not know you, that they would ask you right now for your forgiveness, that they would believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead as you promised for their sins, and that they ask you to save them. Lord, I pray that someone does not know you as Savior, that today, when the first note come out, have you come forward and they pray that prayer, Lord, and show them from God's Word that confidence. Lord, for us as Christians, Lord, search our heart. As David says, see if there be any wicked way in me. Help us, Lord, to have our faith that's more than lip service. Help us, Lord, to have a faith that's more than I'll do it on my time. Lord, let's be committed to you. Cleanse us, Lord, and make us more like you. Help us, Lord, to confess those things, Lord, and be right with you today. And from this point forward, we'll follow you. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen.